thankful for this precious opportunity, this privilege that God's given us to meet together here in his house. Very thankful for the brothers and sisters on the outside this morning. Very thankful to see them. Very thankful to see you. Most of all, we hope we have the presence, the manifest presence of our Lord and Master. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I trust that you do. If you do not, I want to encourage you to start bringing your Bible to church. You'd probably be able to find one there on the pew close by. Turn with me to Psalm 67, the 67th division of the book of Psalms. There's seven verses in this psalm. And if God would be our helper, I would like for us to consider our need and dependence upon God. Our need and dependence upon God. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. There's a portion of scripture that's found in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, that has been a blessing to me in my study of the Bible. The Lord there in those two verses lets us know that he is higher than man upon earth, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that his ways are higher than our ways. And any person that's read the Bible, any person that's meditated upon the person of our God, understands how much higher God is than man. Man is but the dust of the earth, and God, he knoweth our frame. And we as children of God, his children, we desire to know more about God. When you find someone that wants to know more about God, that has a desire to want to know more about their Savior, to know more about Jesus Christ, when you find a wise man seeking the Lord, when you find an individual studying the Bible, they are a born-again child of God, longing to fellowship with the Lord that's in their heart. They were in Jesus Christ before the world began, and by the direct work of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is in them. And now they, in their life, the life that they have by the grace of God, is longing to know more about him. But he is so much higher than us. It's difficult even for our minds to grasp sometimes anything about him. The Lord is very merciful to his children. He's merciful to us not only in the things of life, but through his word. And the Lord, to help us, who are but the dust of the earth and nothing and less than nothing without him, he gives us illustrations, allegories, to help us understand his relationship with us and our relationship with him. He gives us allegories and illustrations, ways we could have fellowship with him and better understand the connection that we have with him, to better understand the love that he has for us and all that he does for us. Sometimes when you read the Bible, you'll find the Lord declaring himself to be a husband and us being his wife. Does that not help us better understand the relationship with us and God? Comparing him to a husband and us a wife? What about when the Lord compares himself? He's a father in heaven and we're his children. Is that illustration not a sweet one to help us understand better our relationship with God? What about a shepherd and sheep? Here in Psalm 67, we have a wonderful illustration, an amazing way that God helps us understand that relationship that we have with Him. That relationship is brought to our attention in that verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. God's face shining upon us is something that's mentioned in many places in the Psalms. Psalm 31, Psalm 80, three times in Psalm 80. I think it's verse 3, verse 7, and verse 19. In Psalm 119, verse 135, we read, you know, God's face would shine upon us. But what is the writer saying here? What is he trying to stir our minds to think? In this psalm, we have a wonderful comparison, an illustration of that relationship we have with God, the dependence that we have upon Him, in the relationship with the sun and the earth. When we think about the word shine, it's difficult for me to think about the word shine and not think about the sun. The sun does shine, right? I can find places in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness. You remember in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, He is called the Son of Righteousness. So many places in the Bible we're referred to as just earthen vessels. We're just here upon earth. When we consider the relationship between us and God, it can be illustrated, and we can know more about that and our dependence upon Him by just considering the relationship between the sun and the earth. Recently, I did a research, and just trying to find what people would say about the sun and in which ways and the ways that the earth is dependent upon the sun and what the sun does for the earth. And I was amazed to find that the basic five that were mentioned by most writers are found right here in this chapter. You know, most people that you would ask and you would read after concerning the sun and the earth, they would say, well, you know, the sun gives the earth light. Some may say, well, the sun gives the earth warmth. Another may say, well, it's the sun that awakens the earth. And I know we've all witnessed flowers when the sun would come up. They would bloom and just point toward the sun that was shining. Another may say, well, it's the sun that causes the earth to go through photosynthesis. And how many plants on the earth go through photosynthesis that ends up providing food and health for the earth? Another may say, well, it's the sun that provides gravity. That keeps the earth, the moon, and everything in its place. As I pondered upon those five things, and basically they were the same for every person I would read, I noticed that the writer here in this 67th Psalm mentions all five of those, illustrating to us how we, just as the earth is dependent upon the sun, we, God's children, we're dependent upon God. Because it's the Lord truly that gives us light. It's the Lord that gives us warmth. It's the Lord that wakens us. It's the Lord that's the gravity. He's the one that establishes us and holds us on the ground and gives us peace. And it's the Lord that feeds us and gives us the health that we enjoy spiritually and naturally. If God will be our helper this morning, I'd like for us to consider this psalm. And consider that relationship that we have with God and how we're dependent upon Him in the same way that the earth is dependent upon the sun. You know, the Bible teaches us the Lord's glory is revealed to us in nature. You know, when you look out in nature, I heard a man say, if a man's got any sense at all, he can see God out in nature. You know, I was on an airplane once and I was flying, I don't know how many feet above the earth, and there was someone on the airplane sitting beside me, and they said, you know, it's impossible for me not to look out there and see that the Lord made all of that. I said, yes, I know it's impossible for you. I said, but for a man dead in sins, he's able to say it. You know why? Because he's a fool. Without God's grace, man is a fool. Paul told us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 that the revelation of God in nature is clearly seen. So clearly seen, we'd have to say it would take a fool not to be able to see it. And that's exactly what man is without God. He's a fool. David told us in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, the heavens declare the handiwork of the Lord. The firmament declares His glory. Day to day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All over the world, people wake up every morning, they see the handiwork of God. They see His finger work and what He created. The children of God are able to look out, and those that have knowledge and say, God made that. I can see God's finger work in it. I can see God's finger work in the universe. And yet the fools, the people that are dead in sins, which would be us without God's grace, I don't see God in that. Brothers and sisters, God's glory is revealed to us in nature. God's revealed to us in nature and what He made. And when I think about the sun that shines, I can see God's handiwork there in making that sun. When I think about the earth, I see God's handiwork in making the earth. And in that, I can see the Lord. And in that sun and thinking about the earth, I can see the relationship between us and God and how the earth is dependent upon the sun, so we are dependent upon God. We're dependent upon Him for His help, for His light, for His strength, for His governing power. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. God, shine upon us that Thy way may be known upon earth. That Thy way may be known. You know, without God's light, we don't know His way. I think it was Jeremiah that said in Jeremiah chapter 10, about verse 23, He said, the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man to direct his steps. You know what Jeremiah is saying? Lord, I've looked over these people. I've saw the dilemma that they're in, and they're not going to figure this out. They're not going to get straightened out and get on the right path. You know why? Without God's light, man does not know the way. Man is dependent upon God's light to do right. You know, without the light of life in us, we don't see a need for God's light. But if the light of life is in us, we're able to see the need because we see ourselves as sinners. And Jesus said Himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of this world. And we, the children of God, all men are in need. But we, the children of God, see our need, that we're dependent upon God to know His way. How many people spiritually, they have life, they're going to heaven, but yet they walk in darkness rather than light? Have you ever thought about when the sun shines upon the earth? Not all the earth is having direct sunlight. There's some people on earth on the other side of the earth, and they're not enjoying the light of the sun, and they're in darkness. Let me ask you, on a really dark night, if it was a dark night like darkness that could be felt, you remember that in Egypt, darkness could be felt? And your precious brother and sister in Christ was close to you, would you know they were there? Would you know they were close by? No, you'd be in darkness. I talked to a person once about the Word of God and how some people cannot see the Word of God. I said, what they are, they're walking in darkness. Yes, they're reading the same book, but they don't have the light to see what you're seeing. And for us to see the truth in the Word, to enjoy the revelation of God in His Word, we, the children of God, are dependent upon God's light. We need His light. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't try to walk on the opposite side of the earth than the Lord. We should walk toward His light and walk in His light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with Him. We know more about Him. We're dependent upon that light. We know His way, His way. Do you know what would happen to us, the church, if we lost His light, if we lost His presence? We'd be in complete darkness, and we wouldn't know which way we were going and which way we were coming. That can be proven by the religious systems of the world. You know the reason the religious systems of the world get further and further away from God? They don't have the light of the Lord. I didn't say they didn't have life. They don't have have the light of God. We need His light to know His way. Have you ever went through the Bible and individuals the Lord was with and how they knew the way of God? You know the reason they knew the way of God? The light was shining upon them. You ever thought about a man named Joseph? Genesis chapter 39 and verse 3. The Bible said the Lord was with him. He knew the way of God. He knew it so much even Pharaoh come to him to receive knowledge. You ever thought about a man named Joshua? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. The Lord was with Joshua because the Lord was with Joshua. Joshua had light and ability to lead the children of Israel into that land of Canaan. What about in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4 when Ruth comes back to Bethlehem? Yes, she needed some help. And there's a man named Boaz. The Bible said the Lord was with Boaz. And the Lord was with Boaz. He knew the way. And what a great blessing and help he was to little Ruth. When you think about the children of Israel and the state they got in during the days of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19, the prophet Samuel, the Bible said the Lord was with Samuel, because the Lord was with Samuel. He had light to understand the way of God to lead the children of Israel. After Saul of Kish had been king of Israel for so many years, Israel had really suffered. But there's a little king that God chose. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 8, the Lord was with David. And because the Lord was with David, he had light to lead the nation in the right way. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1, there was a king named Solomon. The Bible said the Lord was with Solomon, and he had the light of God and built the temple of God, and the Lord's Spirit filled the temple. When Israel had sinned against God to the place and separated himself from fellowship, there was a king that rose up. His name was Hezekiah, one like no other before. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 7, the Bible said the Lord was with Hezekiah. The Lord being with Hezekiah, he had light and understanding and led the children of Israel back into a place of fellowship with God. I remember King Asa, the Bible said in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 11 that God was with Asa and God led him. I remember the days of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 42:11. God was with Jeremiah. Jeremiah gave light to the children of Israel when the rest of the prophets were in darkness. I remember there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 66, there was a man that stepped out and began to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, saying the kingdom of God is at hand, and he had authority to baptize on earth when no one else had authority. His name was John the Baptist, and the Bible said the Lord was with John, and he directed the children of Israel in walking closer to the Lord. When the Lord came out, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All these men had light. Yes, they had life. But they had the light of God, and they were dependent upon that light to lead and guide them. And because God gave them light, they could give that light to others and lead and direct. Brothers and sisters, we're dependent. We need God's light. But not only that, just as the earth needs the sun for warmth, we need God's warmth. Verse 2, thy saving health among all nations. Have you ever thought what the earth would be if the sun just went out all of a sudden? That's not going to happen. The sun's going to shine until the Lord puts the sun out, okay? The earth is going to turn on its axis until the Lord stops. I don't know how many times I've said this. I'm not worried about cranking up my Nissan the next time and exploding the earth, okay? I'm not worried about that. The Bible says God has reserved that for himself. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of our environment. I mean, we shouldn't be throwing cans and paper wrappers all over the road. I mean, we should pick up after ourselves and make things look as good as we found it. But we're not going to destroy the earth. God has reserved that for himself. So I guess I've just revealed to you what I feel about climate change. But just for a moment, think about what the earth would be without the sun's warmth. You know, we have an environment around the earth that holds in heat. But you know, without the sun, it begins to go away. That's why when you're outside at night, it always is the coldest, just right before the sun comes up over the horizon. Without that warmth of the sun, the earth gets cold. Now, I've read that people have estimated that without the sun, in less than a year, the earth would be 100 degrees below Celsius. No one could live in it. Freeze, there'd be no health. There'd be no life. Everything would fall apart. I mean, we'd soon all die. So we need the sun's warmth. And just as the earth is dependent upon the sun for its warmth, for the health, we are dependent upon God for his warmth. You know what we'd be without God's warmth, without his health? We'd all be cold. That's what we'd be. If you heard someone called a cold-hearted person, what are we saying? They're separated from God. What did Jesus say about the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, when it got separated from God? He said, iniquity would abound, and the love of many would what? Wax cold. Wax cold. The word wax means grows greater. They would get cold. They would get cold. Do you remember a man named Peter? When he denied the Lord, he got separated from the Lord. He was cold. He was trying to warm his hands by the fire. But I want to tell you, the fire that was warming his hands was not going to warm his heart because he's separated from God. We need the Lord for warmth. And you know, if we've got the Lord to warm us with his spirit, you know, we're able to endure a lot of coldness in this world. But without the Lord's warmness to warm our spirit, to warm our hearts, the coldness of this world will set in. I need God's warmth to warm me. And I want to tell you, when you're warm in the spirit, and God's blessed you, there's a lot of people that are experiencing cold that want to get close to you. Have you ever noticed people that have a good warm spirit? People like to be close to them. I like to be around people with a good warm spirit, don't you? I like to be around people that are zealous for the Lord and zealous for his word. Some people say, well, they're hot after God's word. Yes, I want to be around somebody that has a good warm spirit. And when you find people that's got a good warm spirit and the health of the Lord is with them, they're able to endure so much. I remember a man named David. You remember that man named David? There was a time in his life that he had to flee from the coldness of this world. What happened is Saul Achish lied about him over and over. Made up stories about him. Slandered David. To the point his name was just a byword in Israel. Treated him as though he was just a flea and Saul was the dog scratching after the flea. David had a time when he fled so much he ended up being in a cave. Don't you know that was cold in that cave? The cave of Adullam. Well, I tell you, I bet David had some cold nights in that cave. Don't you know he had nights trying to sleep? He could hear the cold water just run down the walls of the cave. The coldness of this world is set in. But if you read Psalm 37, Psalm 57, and Psalm 142, David was warm in that cave. You know why he was warm in that cave? He had the warmth of the Lord with him. And I'll tell you, this world can get colder and colder, brothers and sisters. But if we've got the Lord's warmth, and just as the sun would warm the earth, we have the Spirit with us. Our hearts can be warm even in a cold, cold world. I remember there in Acts chapter 16. Remember two men, Paul and Silas, they stood up for what was right? You know, there's a woman there that was a soothsayer. And that woman that was a soothsayer, she was like a fortune teller. If you ever rode down the road and saw one of these signs, you know, you may not have them in North Carolina. We had them in Georgia, okay? There's a lot of ungodliness going on in Georgia. But you say this certain madam over here, and you come in, you know, you get your fortune read by her reading your palm. I remember I was in a car with a good preacher one time, was going down the road, we went by one of those. He said, Brother Ronnie, he said, do you want to go in here and get your future told? I said, I'm struggling too much with my past. I don't want to know nothing about my future. Just, most of that's just a joke. Most of that's just a scam to get you money. But some of it is real. Some of it, but it's not of God. It's black magic. Acts chapter 16, this woman that was there in Macedonia, she was a soothsayer. She was a fortune teller. And her spirit grieved Paul. And Paul turned, he cast the spirit out of her. When she lost that spirit, guess what? Her masters are going to lose money now. They were making money on this evil spirit this woman had. So they took Paul and Silas, and they whipped him and beat him and cast him in the inner prison. And don't you know it was cold in that inner prison? You ever thought about a man in an inner prison? You know, back then they didn't have heat and air like we do today. I mean, I don't want to be in a prison in today's world. Then it was really cold. And here's Paul and Silas. They're in there with their brothers in this inner prison. Don't you know it was cold? No, they weren't cold. They was warm in the spirit. The Lord was there with them. The Bible said about midnight they began to sing. And the Bible said the earthquake, the jailhouse rocked and the lights went out. And the Apostle Paul and Silas were in there serving the Lord in the warmness of the Spirit. And there's a Philippian jailer hauled into them. And they were all there. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Which in my words, he said this, what can I do to get what you got? He was on the outside. They were on the inside, seemingly in a cold environment. But they were warm and he was cold. And he wanted to enjoy what they were enjoying. What did they have? just as the sun warmed the earth, they had the presence of God to warm their lives. And brothers and sisters, we're going to face cold times in this world. We're going to face difficult times, but with the presence of God, God can warm our spirits and help us so that we'll be able to endure. You know, you can endure some cold nights when you got a good heater in your house. You can endure some cold nights when you got a lot of good wood on the fire. And God is my heater. God is my wood on the fire. God is my fire. God is able to warm our hearts and to keep us warm, even in a cold, cold, contrary, and ungodly world that's going to get worse and worse. A world that's full of crooks and perverts, crooked and perverse generation. Yes, with the Spirit of God here in the house of God, here in our homes, here in our lives. If God is here in peace, we can have the warmth just as the sun would warm the earth. Verse 3, Psalm 67. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Wow, what is he saying? Let the people praise thee. Wake us up. Wake us up. Let the people praise thee. Let us be glad and sing for joy. Let us wake up and let us be glad. You know, you think about the word quicken. You know, the word quicken in the Bible is found in three contexts. Sometimes we find the word quicken is making reference to us being born again. God quickens us from death and sins to being alive in Him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it's God that quickens us, and you hath He quickened. The word quicken is also used, like in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, referring to our bodies on the last day. God will quicken the bodies of His saints on the last day. You know, when the Lord died for us on the cross, He didn't die for just my soul and spirit. He died for my soul, body, and spirit. He quickened the soul and spirit in regeneration. But praise God, there's a day coming, the last day, when He will appear in the clouds and He will quicken our bodies. He'll put them back together and our soul and spirit will be joined back with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The word quicken is also found in the Bible like to wake up. Wake me up. You ever noticed over in Psalms 119 how many times David uses the word quicken? Over and over again. Quicken, quicken. Turn there with me. Psalms 119. I'm not going to say I'm going to get them all this morning, but I'm going to try to get a few of them. In Psalm 119. Notice verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Is David wanting to be born again? No, he's already born again. Well, he's not talking about the last day. He's talking about wake me up, Lord. Turn the page. Psalm 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Wake me up, Lord. Verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Wake me up, Lord. 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Turn the page over to Psalms 149. Notice that Psalms 119, verse 149. I knew there was one on my page right there. Psalms 119, verse 149. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. 154, Psalms 119, verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. What is he saying? I want to be born again. No, he's already born again. He said, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up that I can see my wrongs. Wake me up that I can spend time with thee. Wake me up. Over and over again in the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul. He would call on the church to wake up. You remember there in Ephesians chapter 5, when he says, and thus saith the Lord, you know, wake from the dust. Wake up and Christ shall give thee light. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. We need to wake up and spend time with the Lord. The Song of Solomon chapter 2, When Solomon calls to his beloved Shulamite, arise and awake. The night is far past. The winter is past and gone. Wake up, wake up. And just as the sun, when it comes up, it wakes up the earth. The flowers begin to bloom. The birds begin to sing. See, we need God to wake us up in our lives. Have you ever had times in your life where the Lord just woke you up? Someone says, the Lord shook me and woke me up. I've had times when the Lord woke me up. You know, I thought about just the earth and how the sun wakes up the earth. I remember when I was growing up there in Georgia, my mama, she liked Banny chickens. I don't know. You know anything about Banny chickens? Mama liked Bannies. Mama had one little rooster. She called him Bossy. The reason she called him Bossy, I mean, he was the boss of the yard. He had the courage. I don't care what kind of game rooster it was, old Bossy, he'd go after it. He wasn't going to have any other, didn't matter how big the rooster was, they're not going to get around his little Banny hens, and it's not going to get around his food that my mama poured out. Bossy. You know, I hated that bird. I hate that every morning the sun got up, he got right by my window and started crowing. I hate that bird. I was like, man, that bird gets on my nerves. I remember when that bird died, mama cried, and I was happy. I finally got a good morning's sleep. Yeah, Bossy would wake up. The sun would wake him up, and he'd wake me up. You know, it's important to get woke up. If you don't wake up, you're going to miss something, right? I remember mama used to wake me up in the morning. You need to get up out of bed. You're going to miss something. Last week, I was reading a little funny story about a man. He applied for a job at a trucking business, a delivery business. And they wanted to do, you know, a person-to-person, you know, on-site interview with him to make sure he understood all the safety aspects of driving a truck. And they asked the man, they said, you know, I know you want a job here, but we just want to make sure you're aware of, you know, what we're depending on you to do. He said, are you married? He was this young man. He said, no, I'm not married. He said, so do you have any kids? He said, no, I don't have any kids. He said, well, he said, if we asked you, is there someone in your family that you really love, who would it be? I mean, you really love and care about. He said, well, it'd be my brother. He said, I've got a little brother. I love and care about him. They said, okay. They said, we'll give you a scenario now with your brother. Let's say you're in one of our trucks and you're driving down the road and you lose your brakes on your truck. And you're going downhill and the road is narrowing and the truck's getting faster and faster and faster and faster and you've got your brother there in the truck with you. What do you do? He said, what is my brother doing? He said, well, it doesn't matter. He said, your brother's asleep. Just say your brother's asleep. He's asleep in the truck. He's just there with him and you love him and you don't want him hurt. And the truck's getting faster and faster. What do you do? What do you do? And, of course, they wanted him to say, well, I'd probably start, you know, using the handbrake or I'd probably find me a median or someone to pull off, try to slow the truck. And he said, so the truck's getting faster and faster and my brother's asleep. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up my brother. The guy said, wake up your brother. He said, yeah. He said, because this is going to be one horrendous crash and I don't want him to miss it. Wake up or you'll miss something. How we need the Lord to wake us up. You know, my life, I need the Lord to wake me up. Here in the year 2022, the first Sunday of the year, may God wake me up that I would know how important His service is in my life, that I would understand how important His fellowship is in my life, that I'd understand how important the church is to me. You know, life is hard, but life is really hard without the Lord and the church. You know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It is very hard. I mean, there's people in the Bible that you can ask, I need the Lord. I need the church. I need the Lord to wake me up. Wake me up in His Word. Wake me up in the gospel. Wake me up that I would spend time with Him and not just spend my life in sleep and slumber. How many people in the world are unconcerned? That's asleep. They're asleep in the world. They're not concerned. Are we concerned about the service of God? Are we concerned about the house of God? Are we concerned that the church would go on? Are we concerned that the church would be here for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren? There'd be a church here until the Lord comes back. May we wake up as the sun wakes up the earth. May God wake us up and understand the importance of His fellowship, the importance of the house of God. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Still in verse 4, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Is it not the sun, the gravity we mentioned? It holds everything in place. You know, the earth just continually goes around the sun, stays on its axis. Someone says gravity. We know it's the power of God. But just as the sun holds the earth, everything in place, so God, He's the one that provides stability. Have you thought what we'd be without God? Where we'd be? We'd just be flying off into la-la land. Wow, has that happened to many children of God? You ever thought about a man named Lot that was with Abraham? I mean, you'd think, well, he spent time with this man of faith, but boy, he got away from God. Boy, he started journeying in the wrong direction. Ended up, he's sitting at the gate of an ungodly city, prospering on ungodliness. Lost all his influence with his family. Yeah, without the Lord, he just gradually went off, did he not? Remember King Asa, we mentioned him, how he depended upon God? Yeah, I remember he depended upon God when the Ethiopians came. He went to the Lord, he depended upon God. But later in his life, when the Syrians came, he didn't depend on God. He depended on others. He ended up being lame on his feet. His physical walk manifested his spiritual problem. He just gradually went off. See, we need God. We need His governing power. And I'm going to tell you, when we're trusting in God, we understand that God's throne is above all. It'll provide peace for you even when you have times of trouble. See, God is able to give you something that the world can't give you, and that's peace when you're having trouble. I quoted this text yesterday there at Lawyer Springs. When I tried to preach there, I think it's Psalms 127 and verse 2. It is vain to rise up early and to sit up late eating the bread of sorrows, for He giveth His beloved rest. God gives us something the world can't afford. And how I need God. I need God. I need His stability. I need His help. I need Him keeping me in line and keeping me in the place that I should be. Without God, I still tell them where I would end up. Have you ever thought about where you'd be without the Lord in the church? Where would I be? What would I be without God in the church? You know, the Lord, God didn't need me. Church doesn't need me. Your church would be just fine without me. But I wouldn't be all right without God in the church. See, I need the Lord. And I need the church. Verse 5, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God. Well, I love that, don't you? Even our own God. He's mine. Shall bless us. Bless us. When I was in school, we studied something that was called photosynthesis. How many of you remember photosynthesis? Photosynthesis is plants, they use the sun and water. And through a process, they take carbon dioxide and change it to oxygen and basically provide food. Do you know 99% of life on earth depends on photosynthesis? Depends on it. Without it, 99% of life on earth dies. And just as we depend on the sun, the earth does for that, how we depend on God for our daily bread, our daily food, our daily sustenance. What would our spiritual health be without God feeding our souls? Do you remember there in John chapter 6 when Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Yeah, He didn't need that. He could have done it without that. But He just used that. I'm very thankful that God uses little things to do great miracles. He can use like a little shepherd. He can use like just a rock, and a little servant can just hit it with His rod, and just a great river to flow out of it. God can use just a little widow. Here, God just took this little lad, had 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and He blessed it. And the Bible said the multitude. You know, the Bible teaches us 5,000 beside women and children there. I mean, I could easily believe there's 12,000 to 15,000 people there that day. I mean, out of 5,000, some of them had to be married, right? Some of them had to have kids. Jesus set them in ranks. He set them all there together. And by the way, they were all there together. He didn't divide them up into groups. They were all together, men, women, and children. The Lord kept the families together. And the Bible said they took what the Lord had there and fed them. And the Bible said they were all filled. They were all filled to the point they even had 12 basketfuls left over. They had enough to even share as they went down the road. You know, I love going to a meeting when I go away with more than I came, don't you? They went away from that meeting with more than they came with. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and yet they had 12 basketfuls left over. That wasn't just small baskets, brothers and sisters. That was large baskets. And they were able to share the abundance and blessing of that meeting with others. But even after the Lord had taught, even after the Lord had fed them, they all began to leave. They all began to leave. And John 6:66. Here's a 6:66. His disciples departed and walked no more with him. They went away. And Jesus looked at Peter and the apostles. Will you also go away? He said, to whom shall we go? We don't have anywhere else to go, Lord. We don't have nowhere else to go. We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. We believe. Thou hast the words of eternal life. You're the one that's feeding our soul. I don't have anywhere else to go. They understood they were dependent upon God to feed them. You know, Elijah, he understood, I'm dependent upon God to feed me. When he made that journey from Kirith to Sarepta, and that woman was there, she just had one meal left. She's just getting the one meal prepared for she and her son to eat and just die. Elijah said, you prepare me a meal first, and you know, that cruise of oil will not fail. That barrel of meal will not fail. The cruise of oil, the barrel of meal, and it didn't. It sustained. It was God that sustained that. Every morning they got up, they had something to eat. There's always enough. Why? Because God's able to feed us. That prayer, you know, that Jesus gave us there in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. And now God's able to feed us and feed our souls. I'm in need of being fed. You know, without God feeding me, I will soon fail. I'm like an athlete. That's what we are in the service of God. We're like athletes. We're like farmers. We're a soldier. Have you ever thought about a soldier or a farmer or an athlete? You cut them off from food source, what they'd be, they'll soon fail. But if we're to be athletes in serving the Lord, if we're to be farmers in serving the Lord, if we're to be soldiers here in this world and fight the good fight of faith, we need to be fed. And it's God. We're dependent upon Him to feed us from on high. Jeremiah 3:15, God said, I will give you pastors and teachers, and they shall feed you with milk and honey, no, with knowledge and understanding. There's the food, knowledge and understanding. How precious is it to have knowledge even before the trouble? Knowledge and understanding. And just as the earth is dependent upon the sun for light, for warmth, for being awakened, for being governed, and for food, we're dependent upon God. We need God. We need God's light. We need His warmth. We need Him to wake us. And we need Him to keep us stable, to establish our lives. And we need Him to feed us, that we'd be strengthened for the fight that's ahead. We need God. Don't you think that's what the hymn writer meant when he said, I need Thee sometimes, Lord. Is that what the hymn says? I need Thee every hour. Every hour, I need Thee. I need God. We need God. And we should understand that we're dependent upon God. You know, the church at Laodicea, what was their sin? Their sin was we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what prosperity does to us, brothers and sisters. You know, when you get everything you want, you're able to get everything you want, you end up not being thankful for what you have and not keeping in mind, I'm dependent upon God. I need His light. I need His warmth. I need Him to awake me every morning. I need His governing, strengthening power. And I need Him to feed me, to sustain my soul and my spiritual life. I need God. There was a man in the New Testament. His name was the Apostle Paul. He understood I need God. And that's the reason he glorified God with his life. That's the reason he glorified God with his lips. And even at his death, he was still glorifying God. And he said, in my first answer, no man stood with me. He said, all men forsook me. He said, I would not lay it to the charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. I needed God. God stood with me, and God was there with me. And brothers and sisters, if God is with us, it doesn't matter who in the world is against us. Because if we have Him, we have His light. We have His warmth. We have His awakening power. We have His governing and strengthening power. And we have His food to feed our souls, to strengthen us as we go forward. And this fight of faith here in this wicked world, may God richly bless us more and more and more to know how much we need Him.